This is Alive with Joseph.
This evening, I would like to take the opportunity to thank the Lord for affording me the opportunity to come and stand before you to divide the word of God, and I believe we would be blessed and will grow in the Lord. Hallelujah. I would like us to open our Bibles in the book of Hebrews 12, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 we'll use King James Version, verse 2 we'll use NIV translation. And say, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily besiege us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. The title of our message this evening is Fixing Our Eyes on Jesus. The writer of the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, verse 1, draws our attention to the phrase, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. At a glance, two words in this phrase seem contradicting each other, run and patience. Running speaks of agency, movement, and action, while patience speaks of stillness, waiting, and calm endurance. Yet the author uses them together to reveal a vital truth about Christian growth. Our walk with the Lord requires both agency, movement, and stillness and waiting. We are called to step forward with purpose, but also pause and wait for the leading of Jesus. John 1 verse 3, New King James Version, reminds us, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Because he is the creator of all things, he is fully able to guide each of us correctly, enabling us to run according to the unique pace, your unique pace, your individual unique pace. Hallelujah. He has set for our lives. Every professional runner relies on a coach for direction, timing, and strategy. In our spiritual race, Jesus is not only our coach, he is our Lord and Savior. A coach often demands commitment and pushes the trainee to their limits through long hours of preparation and repeated drills. Likewise, the Lord requires dedication, discipline, and a drive for greatness, because he sees beyond what we can. A believer's success hinges on their pliability when God's call for change to prepare us for the next level. You are pliable. Are you able to bend when God says bend? Are you flexible to change when God says change? Sometimes as children of God, we are adamant with our own rules. Yet God has created rules for us. Hallelujah. Now, Proverbs 12 verse 24, TP3 translation says, if you want to reign in life, don't sit on your hands. Instead, work hard doing what is right. Doing what is right. Hallelujah. For the slacker will end up working to make someone else succeed. When you slack in the things of God, someone will pass you by. Hallelujah. And take the blessing that was meant for you. Hallelujah. Now, finishing the race faithfully begins with choosing the right road. Jesus reminds us, John 14 verse 6 message translation reads, I am the road, also the truth, also the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. As you run, pause and reflect. Which path are you on? That's the question. Are you running the race God has set before you, or a path of your own choosing? Have you chosen your own path? Hallelujah. Running with agency, wait with patience, and let Jesus lead on the right road. Jesus would have to lead us. Hallelujah. As we run with patience, we can draw valuable lesson from the individuals God has used throughout the scriptures. The road God chooses for you will often require stretching. And that stretching may feel unfair, yet it is necessary for the path you must walk and the assignment that awaits you. The destiny on your life determines both the challenges you must endure and the timing needed for God to prepare you for the tasks ahead. Let's consider these examples in the Bible. David. Though he was anointed as king of Israel, his preparation unfolded in hidden places, tending sheep in obscurity and fleeing from Saul through the wilderness. This trial shaped his heart for the throne. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel 16 verse 13 and 1 Samuel 20 verse 1, you will find that. The second person we'll take example of is Gideon. God called him a mighty man of valor, even while he was hiding in a wine press. It was in his lowest and most fearful moment that the Lord began to shape him into a deliverer. Judges 6 verse 11. Joseph, destiny to become the prime minister of Egypt. Joseph was molded through painful stages. Number one, in the pit, in Potiphar's wife, in Potiphar's house, in the prison. In each place, God refined his character and positioned him for his divine assignment. Genesis, you will find that in Genesis 37, 23 to 28, and Genesis 39, and Genesis 40, 41. Moses, adopted in a foreign land and raised in a palace, yet shaped in the wilderness. God transformed him from a royal son to a shepherd, and ultimately into the deliverer of Israel and receiver and distributor of the tabernacles. Your destiny will demand, your destiny will stretch you, hallelujah, as a child of God. Now, Psalm 105 verse 19, TPT translation. Pastor Joseph used this scripture around August or September. It says, God's promises to Joseph purge his character until it was time for his dream to come true. This was an unavoidable path for Joseph so that the dream could be fulfilled. Allow God to choose the road for you and trust his leading towards the outcome, so that when you have finished your race, he will be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. When you are on the right path, he will be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Returning to our main text, Hebrews 12 verse 2. The writer begins by saying, fixing our eyes on Jesus. To understand this fully, let us look at the original Greek meaning of the word fixing. The word fix in strong concordance is pharaos, means to look away from all else towards one object, to fix one eyes upon. Therefore, we can safely say, God is calling us to deliberately turning away from everything else in order to gaze intently on Jesus. Now, combining these two phrases from verse 1 and verse 2, it says, run with patience the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. I paraphrase this. It says, move with purpose, yet with calm and steady endurance. Turn away from distraction by focusing intently. on Jesus. The main focus today, it will be to speak about destruction. There is a lot of destruction. We are heading towards the festive seasons. Hallelujah. And there is a lot of destruction around us. God is calling us to fix our eyes to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. God wants us to fix our attention away from anything on our path that can pull us from his intended purpose. Every distraction we entertain causes us to lose time and clarity of purpose. Distraction is the silent invoice life sends you for what you could have become. Distraction is the silent invoice life sends you for what you could have become. Because you are distracted, the opportunity passes you by. And later on, 5 years, when you arrive to a place, you realize that you have missed the plan and the purpose of God. The intended purpose of distraction is to make us focus on anything except Jesus. Because when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, progress follow. Advancement follow. Increase follow. We grow and expand. Hallelujah. Why? Because John 10 verse 1 says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In him, when we are fixed to Jesus, we are able to increase and expand. Hallelujah. As a runner in this spiritual race, we must follow the example set by our model, Christ Jesus. Our pursuit in life is to look away from anything that is not from the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 119 verse 37, Amplified Version. It says, turn my eyes away from vanity, all those worldly and meaningless things that distract. Let your priorities be mine and restore me with renewed energy in your ways. This is the desire of God. And the writer of the book of Psalm was praying to God and said, turn my eyes away from these worthless things. Hallelujah. There might be a lot of things that we are concentrating on, and they are not part of what God has packaged in our destiny. Hallelujah. Hebrews and Psalm both urge us to focus on God's priorities rather than on what distract. The call is for us to receive renewed spiritual energy so that we can walk faithfully in God's path. Your dreams are only as strong as your ability to ignore the unnecessary. What are the unnecessary in your life that you have entertained from January up to now? Your dreams are only as strong as your ability to ignore the unnecessary. Individually, strong as you are, prayerful as you are, there are unnecessary things in your life that you and I, we need to write them off and cancel them from our lives. Hallelujah. Luke 9 verse 62. It says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is a harsh scripture. When you look at it at a glance, you will think that it's harsh, but it is not. When you look closely at this passage, it may seem at first that the Lord Jesus is speaking with harsh tone. But in a farming community, everyone understands how essential focus is for the planting line straight. Hallelujah. This is why Jesus draws on the imaginary of a plowman. Because plowing demands fixed gaze forward to keep the furrow true. The moment a plowman looks back, the animal shifts, the path wavers, and the one straight line becomes crooked. In the same way that a plowman must remain attentive from start to finish, Jesus emphasized this very principle when he says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back his feet for the kingdom. Focus matter deeply to God. Are you focused on the call that God has set for you? Hallelujah. Are you focused? Turn to the person next to you and say, are you focused? Are you turn to the other one and say, are you focused? He desires that we move forward, accomplish meaningful work, and step into the great things for which we created. Hallelujah. You are designed for exploits. But to walk in them, we must strip away distractions. Those are necessary pulls that take us off course, whether in our calling, our business endeavors, our families, and our spiritual growth. Jesus is calling each of us to remain committed to what he desires to accomplish in us, both in this season and in the season to come. Inconsistent approach in life is never desirable in any institution or assignment. It is never. It raises a simple but concerning question. Are you with us or not? Such inconsistency creates doubt about one's reliability and availability. Are you reliable? Can God rely on you? When he wants souls to be saved, can he rely on you? Hallelujah. Now, opportunities really vanish. They go to someone who was less distracted. Opportunities, children of God, opportunities really vanish. They go to someone who was less distracted. In a zigzag approach, when you, today you are in, tomorrow you are out, God is expecting you to be here. And when you move to this side, the opportunity comes and pass. And you will blame God and say, I have prayed, but you were not at the right position. The zigzag approach is not desirable in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. Luke 18, verse 1. Let's read Luke 18 from verse 6. It says, then the Lord said, if even an evil judge became one down like that, don't you think that God will surely give justice to his people who pleaded with him day and night? Yes, he will answer them quickly. But the question is, when I, the Messiah, return, how many will I find who have faith and are praying? This is the heart of Jesus. How many will I find who have faith and are praying? How many? Here the scripture challenges both you and me to remove every form of distraction that pulls us away from the word, from prayer, and from fellowship. God's desire is that when he needs a man or a woman to pray, you will lift your hand and say, here I am. When he needs someone to study the word, you will say, here I am, Lord. When he needs someone to speak to, you will respond and say, here I am, Lord. When he needs someone to volunteer, you will say, here I am, Lord. Availability requires readiness. And readiness is impossible when we are distracted. Readiness is impossible when we are distracted. What is it that is distracting you? Pastor Joseph calls the church to come and pray early in the morning at 5 a.m. Hallelujah. Now, those unnecessary things keep us late. Hallelujah. Then we stay up to 9, up to 12 o'clock, up to 1 o'clock. And in the morning we say, we are tired. But the Bible says availability requires readiness. Are you readying yourself for when he calls? Remember this, God will stretch you. God will demand some things from you as a child of God. And let me say this, your calling will limit you to a lot of things. Your calling will limit you to a lot of things. You see, I and Pastor Joseph can walk towards that direction. And both of us have the same aim. Hallelujah. But what would define or determine the growth is the one who is available and ready when God calls. There are no favorites in God. The issue is, are you available and ready when He calls? We are heading to the festive season. Are you ready? Are you available? I know we have wish list. I know we have plans for the holiday. And we have all these things. Can your priority fit into God's priority? Not the other way around. God to fit into your priorities. Now, if that is the case, then you are leading God. God is following you. And it is impossible for the King of Kings to be led. Because He's sovereign. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Children of God, are you available? Now, victory over destruction comes from when you build a life where your priorities have no competition. And your focus to win is led by Jesus. Let me repeat this. Victory over destruction comes when you build a life where your priorities have no competition. Those priorities are Jesus' priorities. Have you created competition with the priorities of God? And when you come to Him and say, Father, give me one or two, the first thing that He will do and say, what have you done with my priorities? A zigzag approach. Are you available? Are you ready? Turn to the person next to you and say, let's throw away the zigzag approach. Turn to the person next to you and say, victory over destruction comes when you build a life where your priorities have no competition. What is it that is competing with the priorities of God? For God to move, if you check from Genesis to the Revelation, all these men that we have listed, their priorities were thrown away. And they focused on Jesus Christ and say, your priorities is our priorities. Hallelujah. Amen. Children of God, it's obvious you will be stretched. You will be stretched. God will stretch you. Hallelujah. Amen. God will stretch you. Then how do we deal with destruction? How do we deal with destruction? We deal with destruction by building our altar of worship and prayer. Your intimate and quiet time with the Lord will strengthen you and empower you to overcome destructions because your focus becomes Jesus. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 11 says this, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Exodus 33 verse 7, it says, Moses took the tent and pitched it outside the camp. At a good distance from the camp, he called it a tent of meeting. Anyone seeking the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting that was outside the camp. It's an effort. You need to create an environment of fellowship. The environment where you are, is it an environment where the Holy Spirit will be able to fellowship? Because the Bible says He moved it away from the community, away from a distance. Is your prayer time, a worship time with the Lord, distracted by things? Are you praying while watching TV? Because He needs that. He's a jealous God. He needs that time with you as a child of God. Am I worshiping God WhatsApping at the same time? I'm not giving Him the attention He needs. While He gave us the attention that we need, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, He is our focus. Hallelujah. Are we giving Jesus the attention He needs? Have you created out of the 12 hours that you have you created that quiet time with him where he can speak to you as an individual? Where God can say, Paul, what you are doing is not right. In that space, God is able to reprimand. God is able to correct. These are the distractions. God wants us to remove them from our lives. Hallelujah. Secondly, maintain continual fellowship with the Word. As you stay in the Word, your mind is renewed and strengthened. The Word keeps your focus sharp because you continually meditate on it. Ephesians 6 verse 13 and 17, it says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. If you are distracted, you are not able to stand. If you are distracted, you are not able to stand. The emotions control you. The environment around you control you. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Are you spending time with the Word of God? It's so amazing that you are able to sit for 6 hours, watch a series, watch or check the news, but when it comes to the Word, we doze off. We're tired. Remember, the Word is Jesus. Are we giving him the attention he needs? Ignoring the Word, we're ignoring Jesus. When we say we love Jesus, we need to love his Word. Stay connected. The third one is stay connected to the church and fellowship with other believers. Accountability begins when we intentionally connect and fellowship with one another. Staying plugged into the church helps keep our focus aligned and strengthened. Hebrews 10 verse 25, Living Translation says, let us not neglect our church meetings, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now the day of his coming back again is drawing near. Children of God, I would like us to stand up on our feet. God has spoken to you. What are the unnecessary things in your life that you have entertained that God wants us to remove in our lives? For a life church to expand and to grow, God needs all of us focused. God needs all of us putting our hands on the plow, focusing on him, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, not looking back, hallelujah. And in Proverbs 12:24, it said, if you want to reign in life, don't sit on your hands. Instead, work hard at doing what is right. This evening, let us work hard in doing what is right before our Maker. You know where you slacked. You know where what you have entertained that you're not supposed to entertain. Let us go before the Lord and cry out. As the writer in the book of, it says, 109 verse 37, say, turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. Let it be our cry tonight and say, Father, turn our eyes. Turn our eyes from looking at worldly and unnecessary things. Pray to the Lord. Call unto the Lord this evening. Call unto the Lord this evening. Turn my eyes away from vanity, all those worldly and meaningless things that distract. Let your priorities be mine, O God. Let us cry tonight that our priorities be the priorities of God.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.